Wait, what are you just saying? Foot. You're just saying foot.
Foot.
You just said foot.
Foot.
It's welcome to Highly Questionable. Hey, I get to do it this time.
I'm Dan Levitard. That's Bomani Jones. That's Mina Kimes. Let's get started.
Who do you trust to choke less tonight, CP3 or Harden and Russ?
All right, so if you are a critic, if you are a hater, if you are the kind of person who loves to take Hall of Fame talent and say, that guy has no heart, he is mentally frail, or I want to blame him for something, tonight is the game for you, because you've got James Harden, you've got Chris Paul, you've got Russell Westbrook. You're going to win at the end of tonight. You're going to be able to blame somebody for something, so much so that after the last game, when Russell Westbrook was holding the ball all the time and James Harden wasn't, Stephen A. Smith went off the board and blamed Mike D'Antoni. You can blame anyone here. It's going to be great fun.
Look, man, I saw this stat come up today. I think Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer pulled this up. In the last 5 years, in the fourth quarter and overtime, James Harden is a 25% three-point shooter, right? This whole team is based around a premise that you got to admit is just a little bit flawed, which is trying to make as many shots as you can from as far away as you can. The math justifies it because three is 50% higher than two. However, as the games go on and this gets longer and longer of a season and your legs get more and more tired, does it really make sense to bank so much of what you do from standing far away and trying to throw the ball into the basket? So I don't even necessarily know if it's going to be choking. I don't know if it's going to be fatigue, but I don't feel comfortable about what the Rockets are. The only thing I know for certain about this game is Chris Paul and James Harden really don't like each other. And it's weird because they're trying their best to act like it really wasn't that big a deal in the first place. You know, we're not cool, but that's all right. Then you got Chris Paul just standing and staring at the dude. And as ornery as Chris Paul is, James Harden is a lot of things. I have no idea what kind of like person he is. He doesn't give us anything. He's just kind of like, you know, I'm just sort of here to watch that in game seven. Can't wait.
The framing of the question by the producer here was ingenious, right? Because I think the Rockets are a better team. They're the more talented team. I think they should win. But you didn't ask me who I think should win this game. You asked who's less likely to choke, and that is undeniably Oklahoma City, who have been very clutch. Meanwhile, the Rockets are historically unclutch, okay? You mentioned that Harden stat. I thought this one was even worse. Harden and Westbrook combined in the final minute of playoff games are 5-41. That is the worst combined performance by any two players of the last 20 years. So no, I have no faith in their ability to close it out, even though I think they're the better basketball team.
Yo, the tricky thing here is going to be Russell Westbrook, because he's one of those, I can't tell. All right, yeah, some guys are scared to shoot. Some guys shoot because they're scared. When this gets late, and I always felt in Oklahoma City, it was a lot of situations where there was no shot for anybody else. And it also just wound up being Russ at the end while everybody's standing around. I thought he got a bad rap on it. But, man, he makes some bizarre decisions late. And the difference now between those other teams is, especially the most recent other teams, you got somebody that you should probably give the ball to. Except he's a 25% three-point shooter in the fourth quarter and overtime in the playoffs in the last 5 years. Yeah, this doesn't feel great for the Rockets.
And as an added bonus, though, we have all that soap opera stuff that we like so much when guys legitimately don't like each other. Look at this is Chris Paul just telling you flatly here. I've got no time for these guys. And furthermore, they're not built for this moment the way that I'm built for this moment as someone who is criticized as being someone who doesn't often get out of this moment. Chris Paul all of a sudden gets out of the first round one time. And he's here to tell you that James Harden and Russell Westbrook are not built for this.
You know, when it gets to clutch time, fourth quarter, some people built for it. Some people shy away from it. You know, you saw Dame, all that stuff. Like some people built for it, man, and we're gonna keep hooping.
I mean, he is a great fourth quarter player, right? Like he does have that part. He just, you know, hasn't done it for very long and has been on a team that once blew a 3-1 lead to the Rockets.
And yet, if he switched places with Westbrook, the Rockets would probably win.
Yo, is this the time where we talk about all these people that's been getting hit in the crotch, right? Didn't Chris Paul hit somebody in the crotch and this didn't a shooter?
It's an elbow.
Shooter, yep, yeah. Shooter had
elbow,
one.
Elbow.
Yeah, extension. See, full see. Extension there. That's more of the thigh. Oh, no, he brings the elbow all the way around.
Yeah, no, man.
Can you guys please, in slow motion again, play what we just saw? And I want you to concentrate on the face of Russell Westbrook. And I want you to remember that Mina Kimes just said that this was a thigh. A thigh.
It starts at the thigh. Yeah. And then he, I mean, credit to Chris Paul. He's got an acute awareness of space there because he gets the thigh first and then he scoops it around.
That is not the face of a man who was hitting the thigh.
Here's the question. So when Chris Paul hit him in the thigh, did he say to himself, damn, I missed?
Yes. Yes,
right? Did,
yes.
He have, did he have to get the offensive rebound and put it, and make it happen? Because that's basically what he did. He was like, oh, man, recovered, put it back up. He was Moses Malone of crotch shots.
How much credit should we give the Nuggets for almost choking, but then not choking, and still beating the Jazz last night?
The first six games of this series was offensive basketball being played at the highest possible skill level. And then last night, before this sequence that we're about to show you, you get a Jokic situation where he's winning the game on a 720 degree spin move that feels like a loaf of bread floating through water, waterlogged. He gets the shot that's the game winner with a 720 here on the defensive player of the year. But then this is what happens at the end of the game as Utah's trying to get back into the game with a tie. And Gary Harris, you didn't see this the entire series. Look at what Harris does to meet Donovan Mitchell and cause that turnover right there. And then they've got the ball, just go to a corner, get fouled. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh.
Terrifying. Mike Conley, that ball needed to go in, right? That ball needed to go in so that Denver would have had its season ended in the most despicable, echoing, hurting way that you could possibly imagine.
I had no horse in this race. I truly did not care who won. But if that ball had actually gone in, I would have been running through the streets screaming because the last minute of that game was so unrepresentative of the rest of the game, which was frankly kind of gross. Like, the real winner here to me was not Denver, but Doc Rivers sitting somewhere in a hotel room in Orlando, turning on that game, thinking he had stumbled on like an old episode of The Last Dance or some 90s NBA footage, because that team is not going to give his team a problem.
How do you hold the Nuggets to 80 points and lose? Like, that is so crazy. I admit, I missed a significant part of the comeback because the Nuggets are up by like 20 in the first half. I went and did some yoga. The Nuggets scored all of 30 points in the second half of that game, and somehow Utah still did not manage to win it. And it's wild for Denver because think about this. How many guys does Denver have that you have to guard? Like, how many dudes that can go out there and get their own shots? It might be more than anybody else in the NBA. And at least two of those dudes are like the worst defensive player on earth. Michael Porter and Jokic. They're just like, I give to you, you give to me. Everybody has a good time. And now this team is going into the second round. And they're going to play against the Clippers. And none of us know what exactly you're going to get when you get from the Clippers. Because, you know, they kind of don't like each other. And everybody has to get their own shots. This is going to be hilarious.
Can you think of anything more infuriating than having Jokic make that shot on you? Like, Dan, you compared him to a loaf of bread. To me, it's more a dancing bear. But regardless, he has these little floaters and they always go in. They always go in. I have no idea. They're so, whenever they leave his hand, I say to myself, no way, no way. Oh, there it is. Every freaking time.
Here's what he's doing. You guys, I don't know if y'all play spades, but Jokic is the heir to the mantle of Dwayne Wade, which is the spades playing basketball player, which is to say, he out here walking jacks. Like, he puts up shots and you're like, yo, how did that jack win the book, right? There's no way that that jack should have walked all the way across the table. His whole existence, not just like the shots that he puts up all and everything else, everything about Jokic is like, how did that jack walk?
Do you guys realize, Bo, you will appreciate this, that Murray and Mitchell went for more points in a three-game span by 30 than Michael Jordan and Barkley when they were going at each other. We've never seen two guys go at each other and then fart noise, game in the 80s.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie Show.
All of us witnessed Mina Kimes' brain breaking at the moment that I said it. Something I said was so objectionable, so blasphemous, that her head split apart.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Popeye's Chicken Sandwich. How should Drew Brees feel about the Saints if they decide to trade Alvin Kamara?
All right, Bomani, I don't think there's anything on television that I have been more consistently wrong about over the last couple of years than pay the running back. I have said it for Todd Gurley, for Melvin Gordon, for Christian McCaffrey. I keep seeing these running backs, Henry, where I'm like, well, that's the guy you got to keep. Alvin Kamara is someone who makes them so versatile. I believe that he has helped keep Drew Brees young at a time when he should be going precipitously into decline the way other quarterbacks have as he loses arm strength. So this is a guy that I would keep if I were them, especially if I am Drew Brees and trying to keep Drew Brees happy. But I'm guessing, Mina, that I'm wrong on this one too, because I've been wrong about every other running back and whether you keep him or pay him in a disposable time.
Well, the question was whether they'd trade him. And I'm sure Drew Brees wants New Orleans to keep Alvin Kamara. But if they get an offer for like a first for him, and I'm the Saints, I am chartering a plane. I am filling it with all of his favorite snacks. I am throwing one of those parades they have in New Orleans, because there is no question that they should do it. Okay. And he is a great player, damn. But the Saints also have a lot of other great players who play positions that are harder to fill, whose contracts are coming up over the next 2 years. And if the cap stays flat, they have negative $78 million in cap space. That was not a typo. I read that this morning. I thought, no, what? No, negative $78 million. Okay. So while I they're probably going to pay him because they're going all in on this season, and I respect that, they're going to be in a world of financial hurt for years to come.
Look, putting it out there that it'll take a first round pick to get him means that they're going to keep him, right? Like, I don't think that there's a team in the league that would actually give up a first round pick. But I think that's only because Bill O'Brien doesn't have a first round pick to give up. Because otherwise, I mean, that's the man you call. You know, he's the Vlade Divac of the NFL. Like, it seems untradeable. Oh, no, no, no. Just see what you can get for him. You might get Deshaun Watson. I don't know. Give him a ring. This is the thing for me with the Saints on this. And I don't know what they're ultimately going to pay Kamara. They're probably going to have to pay him just below the top tier running backs and the money that they have gotten right now. However, you gave $16 million this year to Taysom Hill, okay? And Taysom Hill is kind of a few things, nothing in particular. So a dude that you just have out there and that people just like for whatever reason and is about 30 years old, you got $16 million to give him, but not a dude that does a lot more to make your football team good. Keeping in mind that what you saw Kamara do last year was on a torn MCL. Come on, man. If I'm Kamara, I ain't coming nowhere near there. And I'm just looking at Taysom Hill every time and saying, explain to me how you can't afford this.
And he would be totally right to do that. He has leverage this year. There is no team in this league who is more all in on this particular season than New Orleans Saints. Okay. And Alvin Kamara knows that. This is the most leverage he's ever going to have. And I do not blame him at all for using it. I'm just saying, the Saints should be smarter than that.
Can you guys help me with something, though? Because it's legitimately confusing to me, even understanding how disposable that position has become. At any point in my lifetime watching football, someone who plays and produces as much as Alvin Kamara is worth a first-round pick every time except for the last 2 years. I don't know if you guys caught this, but I said something in that segment that all of us witnessed Mina Kimes' brain breaking at the moment that I said it. Something I said was so objectionable, so blasphemous, that her head split apart, her brain sliced open, and you can witness there, right there, Mina Kimes just furious and broken.
Do you question Kirk Cousins' stance on COVID-19?
Okay, it is the selfish stance of a lot of young people that I see taking $29 one-way fares and ending up right behind me on this beach, clustered together, not wearing masks as this virus continues to embarrass our country. But here is Kirk Cousins talking to Kyle Brandt about, hey, if I die, I die. He's quoting Drago.
on that spectrum, if one is the person who says masks are stupid, you are all a bunch of lemmings, and 10 is I'm not leaving my master bathroom for the next 10 years, where do you land?
I'm not going to call anybody stupid for the trouble it could get me in, but I'm about a 0.000001.
Yeah. Really? How come?
Yeah. You know, I just, I want to respect what other people's concerns are, but for me personally, if you're just talking, no one else can get the virus. What is your concern? If you could get it, I would say I'm going to go about my daily life. If I get it, I'm going to ride it out. I'm going to let nature do its course. Survival of the fittest kind of an approach, and just say,
yeah,
if it knocks me out, it knocks me out. I'm going to be okay. You know, even if I die, I die. I kind of have peace about that.
Athletes tend to think of themselves as bulletproof. We see a general selfishness throughout this country of, hey, if I get this because I'm not wearing a mask, I'll deal with the consequences, not allowing for the consequences of what you're doing if you're spreading it. But it was the second dumbest thing he said in that interview. The dumbest was him wanting Creed to play for him privately. He was looking into that last summer.
Look, Kirk also said, Dan, he wears a mask, right? And I've seen people defend him saying, okay, well, he's saying he respects others and, you know, he's not spreading the illness. But the problem is he's spreading his dumb belief that the illness isn't serious, right? Like, you can respect others, but as a public figure, you should also not propagate bad ideas, which is what he's doing here and why this was difficult to watch.
Yeah, but see, I think he implies that he thinks the disease is serious. He's just willing to die, which is, when you're his wife, you're his kids, what are you thinking about this? Like, if you want to say that you're willing to roll the dice and maybe you die from COVID, I mean, it's selfish, but you get to do that, right? It's stupid according to my just general calculus of how this stuff goes, but it's not like quite objectively stupid. Masks don't work. That is objectively, quantifiably, factually stupid. You have the right to say something stupid. I have the right to say that thing is stupid. And if you say things like him, there's a chance that you are stupid.
Do you question if Spider-Man should stop doing parties?
All right, so the two human beings who are on with us here are learned. They are educated human beings, and we continue to waste their time with all our Spider-Man coverage. Let's give the people a montage, first of all, of our Spider-Men.
Ew.
Yeah, this guy disappearing. We've got this guy right here.
I hate this. That one was just lame. This guy's fine. Hey, Karol.
This is one of the greatest videos of all time. Yeah. Hold on, it gets better. Here we go.
One of the greatest videos of all time.
It here is. He is.
This one, too.
Oh, this
is
the worst one.
This is one of the best. That is Argentinian Spider-Man right there. Let's check in with our. Let's check in with the latest Spider-Man. That is the Argentinian Spider-Man is the best one. What do we have here?
Oh no. He's got moves.
It's always bonus boards for Flexus.
No!
Oh. Wait a minute.
Oh,
let me tell you what I didn't pay attention to at first. It was surprised to see as the camera panned out more and more. That's normally not us doing these things.
Wait a minute. You were surprised to learn that that was a black Spider-Man under there. That was a surprise to you.
Whoa.
We don't know that. We don't know that. I just didn't expect it to be black people. The only time we've done one of these videos like this and it involved a black person was that clown at that Clemson game. You remember that? When that dude was dancing for him and fell on his face?
Yes, yeah. We've got to show Mina
that one.
But it wasn't
black people watching.
No, you know what? I don't need to see it. I got
yes, you do.
Oh, no, you need to see this.
Yes, you know, you need to see this. You need to see this.
Coming soon to ABC, Dancing with the Stars.
All right, Bomani, unusually, is very excited about this, but I don't know who's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. Mina doesn't know who's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. Let's see here. Let's preview it.
One we've been waiting for. Get ready to roar.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Tiger King.
Really? Oh, yeah. God. Oh, that's stuffed, right?
Yes, that was stuffed.
Are you sure?
So was her ex-husband.
Oh, come on.
Well, allegedly. Just, okay, this is just her. There are other people on this show, though, worth watching. Bomani, are you intrigued?
Welcome to 2020, when Charles Oakley will be on Dancing with the Stars.
No! Charles!
The last time I saw Charles Oakley, he showed up to the Seaport uninvited with a hard drive to show producers what happened that day in the Garden with him and Jim Dolan to try to get himself on television. The next time I might see him on television will be on Dancing with the Stars.
Mina, okay. How about you? Are you intrigued?
So I was going to make, you know, the cheap joke, Carol Baskin's going to kill him, knock him dead, Carol. But I'm much more intrigued by this Charles Oakley hard drive story. Like, are we talking about a physical hard drive in a bag that he pulls out and hooks up to a computer?
A portable USB hard drive. He brought it. He wanted to get his case out there, right? It was real Zapruder-like with him. You point things out to people.
Our work is done here, but if you want more Bomani Jones, The Right Time with Bomani Jones is essential listening. Also, if you want some good information and some funny and entertaining with your football, The Mina Kime Show featuring Lenny, her dog. He's not the funny one. All right, we have Clemson queued up here. Mina has not seen this. Bomani loves this video right here. This is Clemson, and it reminds us of the echoes of Argentinian Spider-Man.
Did he notice that nobody came to help him? He was out here trying to give them all that joy, and now he's doing down dog by himself.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.